So turn over to Corinthians, 1 Corinthians. We could start with 2 Corinthians, but that would seem a little bit backwards. So, I was thinking about this verse again this week. So we have the prophetic word made more sure, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. And somebody was talking a little bit earlier about what's going on around us right now, and it just seems like there's a lot of darkness and a lot of lostness. And what I love about this verse is that picture of the morning star arising inside of my heart, because I've really learned to count on that. I've learned to count on the fact that the Word of God animates and comes alive. And so anytime I invest in the Word of God, I've experienced this over and over again, no matter what's happening around me. Whether there's COVID or no COVID, whether things are going well in my life or not so well. And I'm really grateful that we have a prophetic word. And what that means is that basically God has told us in advance what the truth is. And I cling to that, and it's just a wonderful gift. We talked about Acts, talking about the relational good news. James, what faith looks like. Galatians, discussing the spirit life. Thessalonians, the celebration of life, very encouraging couple of books. Now we move into Corinthians that are describing the internal battle that people experience and that particularly Christ followers experience, but it's not like everybody else isn't experiencing that total battle. It's just that we see it as a battle. It's a lost war for people who don't know Christ, which is, you know, why we pray and why we share and why we ask God to help us be a part of liberating. I was thinking about, if you look at that red square there, that's not Russia right there. That is that's where Athens is. So Paul, in our reading as we're going through Acts right now, he went to Philippi, then he went to Thessalonia, and then he goes to Athens, remember, and then he ends up in Corinth. And he spends about a year and a half in Corinth, spends a couple of years in Ephesus, so that's yet to come. And you can kind of see where Ephesus is. So one says he crosses over, that's what it's talking about. So it's been kind of fun to follow the journeys of Paul in the context of the letters, because the letters are all framed by what he experienced when he was with a group of people. And in Corinth, during that year and a half, he taught them lots of things. And by the time he writes 1 Corinthians, they've moved in bad directions with some of the things that they've been taught. This is probably, I call the theme of this book, Carnality's Consequences. This is what it's like if you choose to live like a mere man, okay? Rather than as a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, when you just choose to live like a mere man, which that's what's boiling around us right now. You know, people are looking for solutions as mere men. And we are like looking as hard as we can to find solutions that don't include God. And all true solutions obviously include God. In the beginning of this book, and Daniel was talking about this a little bit earlier, there are two wisdoms and there are two paths. And we have been called to experience the wisdom of God and not this wisdom of man, which anybody can have. We have something that supersedes the wisdom of this world, and that's kind of the beginning of those first couple of chapters. So we're a little short on time today, so as we go through a few of these chapters, I just want you to, if you have an observation that you want to make, just go like that. If you have a question, a personal revelation, something that moves you, I'm going to talk about a few things that I saw as I was going through this book. Acts 18 is the backdrop for Corinthians. And if you read it, it really sets the tone for what was happening. And this is the overview of the book. These are the consequences of carnality. Look down at the bottom there. Are you not walking like mere men? So turn over to chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. I, brothers, could not speak to you. Now remember, he spent a year and a half with them. He's down the road now, and he's writing letters back based on what he's seeing and hearing from the saints. I, brothers, could not speak to you as to spiritual men, but as to men of flesh who are like infants. So to be a mere man is to be an infant, and that's to be a man of flesh, which means you never grow up. And there is nothing uglier than a person who never grows up. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever experienced that before? You know, it's just really a sad, sad thing. Well, this is what's happening in Corinth. These people should have grown up by now, but they're still messing their diapers. And that's basically what he's trying to explain to them, that you're living like the rest of the world who has no substance to it, and you are living like mere men. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, like you would give a baby, for you were not yet able to receive it, which makes sense. I mean, you're not going to serve a baby a four-course dinner, right? They have to learn how to go through the process. Not yet able to receive it, yet indeed, even now, you're not yet able. So should be a little bit further down the road, should be growing up, but you still can't even take solid food. For you are still fleshly. For since there's jealousy, now check this out, and think about the world that we're living in right now, and think about what you see even among the people of God. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not fleshly? And are you not walking like mere men? So that was the first challenge I saw in the book. And I've looked at it before, and I'm still wrestling with it because, as I was describing last week, I'm still processing the things that are going on around me. And I have the opportunity, even though I have lived on solid food for a long time, I can still act like a mere man. I'm never going to be where I'm not susceptible to that happening to me. So that's helpful to me because I don't want, as you look at this overview of this book, I don't want to be involved in divisions. I don't want to be divisive. I don't mind speaking up for what's true, but I don't want to be divisive because of childish distinctions. And so I'm sorting through that right now. COVID is a part of it. You know, what's happening politically in our environment right now, all of those things, there are childish distinctions that are surfacing. I don't want to participate in them. I don't want to further them at all. The second thing, there are disorders which come from those childish distinctions. And then what happens when people have immature perspectives, then that causes disorder among people. And that's what we're seeing in our culture right now. Because of the childish distinctions, we're seeing a real immaturity of viewpoints and attitudes. And then what happens is you have disorder, and then that introduces difficulty, which it did for the Corinthians. And those difficulties, because they were childish and because they were immature in their perspective, they started experiencing and engaging in practices that were self-centered. And that's one of the big teachings about out of the book of 1 Corinthians is how do you, if you want to be a mere man, live a self-centered existence. If you want to live like a spiritual man or a spiritual woman, then you're going to have to set self aside, which we've talked about before. So that's just kind of the thrust of the book. And like I said, if you have an observation you want to make it, you can just like raise your hand and I'll acknowledge you and whatever. Skipper. Yeah, and so when one part of the body suffers, I suffer with it. And that's what was happening in Corinth. It wasn't like everybody was rampantly going and doing crazy things, but because some were suffering and bringing suffering, they were all suffering together. Well, what were they suffering? They were suffering as a group being able to move on to maturity together. So yeah, that's a great observation. That verse 10, based on what he was just talking about there in chapter 3, and he makes these astonishing statements all the way through Corinthians, which happens in every letter and happens in every book of the Bible. But I just kind of went through and I made asterisks by all of the startling things. And this was one of them, verse 10. And it tied into to what we just were talking about with 3:1-3. According to the grace of God, which was given to me. Now, pass that on to yourself. The grace of God was given to you too. It's not like Paul was the only one that got the grace of God. You and I have received the grace of God as well. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, like a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and another is building on it. But each man must be careful how he builds on it, okay? This is talking specifically about this Corinthian community because they weren't being careful enough in how they were building on the foundation, and they were all of a sudden designing a house that didn't really fit the foundation at all. And if you look what Skip was just talking about, verse 16, do you not know that you're a temple of God, you, plural, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If any man destroys the temple of God, so I'm the temple of God, you're the temple of God, and if I participate in any way, shape, or form in destroying the temple of God in you, I'm also destroying it in myself. I mean, think about how radical that is. If any man destroys the temple of God, God will destroy him. Whoa. For the temple of God is holy, and that is what you are. So there was a lot at stake for the Corinthians. Now, we can look at the list of the things that they were doing and that they shouldn't be doing and all that kind of stuff. But this was the fundamental issue that was happening among the people in Corinth. They were so self-centered that they had lost a picture for what Paul had reasoned with them on for a year and a half to explain to them who they were and what life was supposed to look like for them as a community. What does it say in Proverbs 14:12? I thought about this passage when I was wrestling with chapter 3. What does it say there? Let me look it up for me. 14:12. You know, there's not a lot of Proverbs that you see the same proverb multiple times through the Proverbs. This one, you see it in chapter 14 and you see it in chapter 16. There's a way that seems right to a man, but the end of it is the way of death. That reminded me, speaking of threads, of Isaiah 55. When he talks about my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts. So why in the world would I choose to live any part of my life like a mere man when I have what has been given to me? Which he's weaving this into the conversation with the Corinthians. He's talked about the wisdom of God. Now he's talked about being grown up and needing solid food and not milk. And then another one of these amazing things that he says is at the end of this chapter. Verse 21, so then, and you know the story, you've read the book and you read some of it this week. I'm of Paul, okay, ta-da, I get to follow Paul. I'm of Apollos, old silver-tongued Apollos, who was Greek and obviously was able to really tell a good story and preach a good sermon. I mean, he was able to do that. I am of Cephas, that's Peter. So I'm of Paul, I'm of Peter, I'm Apollos, and then you have the people who were just so awesome, they were of Christ. You know? You can just almost feel the energy, the synergy that those people were feeling. So what was happening is that they were drawing into, back to this, you know, what the book looks like, they were experiencing divisions and disorders because they were doing self-centered practices which were turning them into factions. Which is kind of the story of the American church. It's a story of factions. And it's because we have been way more Corinthian than we have been Thessalonian. You know, we have been way more Corinthian than we have been James. So when you read the book of Corinthians, you need to not just look at it from the perspective of what's wrong with everybody else. We have to look at it like, what's wrong with us? You know, what's wrong with us with regard to divisions, disorders, and difficulties? And so he's trying to weave in and what their identity is. You know, when I choose to live this way, I'm basically saying, I'm not who God says I am. I'm somebody else, so I have to resort to what the world resorts to around me. And I just love this. So then, let no one boast in men, verse 21, for all things belong to you. Now think about this. I don't need to boast in any man because everything belongs to me. There's nothing I need to strive for. Everything belongs to me. And he goes on to say, whether it's Paul or Apollos or Peter or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all of it, all things belong to you. And so what does the evil one do? He gets us to forget who we really are. And so divisions start and they fester because we automatically are buying into a lie about who we are and who we aren't. All things belong to you. And I just love this verse. It just warms my heart. And you belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. And not only that, Christ belongs to God. So do you see that the exchange that was happening, and he's trying to draw them back to what he had explained to them a couple of years earlier. He's trying to explain to them, don't get involved with these carnal ways of living like mere men. So again, I'd ask you to ask the question. You have your vulnerabilities. I have my vulnerabilities. You know, Satan knows how to push your button just like he knows how to push my buttons, okay? It is up to me to make sure that I don't forget who I am and be drawn into things that are absolutely fruitless. And, you know, we're seeing a perfect microcosm of it right now in our world because so many of the things that are happening right now are fruitless. That's why there's so much division. Because you can't lay it out in black and white. We're living in a gray environment. And we're being sucked in to things that go with it. So that's kind of that. Anything anybody wants to say? I mean, I don't know what else you would say after I said all that. I mean, at the end of that chapter, chapter 4, 420, and I'm kind of going kind of to my asterisks right here as I look at them. For the kingdom of God, verse 20, does not consist in words, but in power. And that's what was happening. I'm following Apollos' words. I'm following Cephas' words. I'm better because I'm following Paul's words, okay? For the kingdom of God does not consist in words, but it exists in power. Think about this. I mean, Paul was even accused of not being a silver-tongued orator, you know? People basically said that his words weren't that awesome. Moses' words weren't that awesome. I think it'll be interesting to find out exactly what Jesus' words were, because I think Jesus' words, it didn't have anything to do with him being a public speaker. He was the power of God. He was the wisdom of God. It wasn't talking about him being a better human being than anybody else. It was talking about what it meant to experience this articulating idea of who God is. And Paul is concerned, and he says in verse 21, what do you desire? You want me to come to you with a rod or with love and a spirit of gentleness? Now, that rod would have to do with the disciplining rod of a father who would be seeing children who are out of order. And how do you want me to come to you? I'd rather come with a spirit of love and gentleness with you. Then he begins to talk about their troubles and some of the evidences of what they were experiencing. And we've got a few minutes left, so I kind of want to just look at some of these troubles because they have correlations to our troubles. We've got our own troubles. I think what you can find in these root troubles that were happening in Corinth you can find correlations to some of the troubles that we're experiencing. And so the first one is immorality, and that's what chapter 5 is about. And I mean, could immorality be any more rampant than it is? I mean, I don't know how I can roll anymore. I mean, are we as Sodom and Gomorrah as you can almost possibly be? And we've talked about porn before and just the accessibility of things, you know? I was sitting with seven teenagers yesterday at a table, and we were celebrating a graduation, and we all were having this conversation, a great conversation, but we were also having it with their phones, okay? Because they all came and put their phones up against their drinking glasses. And that was a part of the conversation we were having. Now, I'm not picking on that. I'm just saying. I'm talking accessibility. So what's being discussed here, what we see now, I'm sure would have blown Paul's mind. But actually, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother. I can understand why the world is out of control, but I'm not supposed to associate with any so-called brother if he's an immoral person, or he's covetous, or an idolater, or a reviler of authority, or a drunkard, or a swindler. I'm not even supposed to eat with such a one. What do I have to do with judging outsiders? That is the world that we live in. It's a slimy world. I mean, we learn more and more all the time about how slimy it's been in the last 30 or 40 years. I just cannot fathom the Epstein thing, and I cannot fathom human trafficking. I can't fathom. I would blow my brains out before I would participate. And yet, what is happening and what has been happening in our world? I don't have anything to do with judging outsiders. Outsiders have no control at all. Do you not judge those who are within the church? But those who are outside, God judges. Remove the wicked man from among yourselves. That was basically how they were supposed to deal with it. So that was one issue. Another issue is that they were suing the crap out of each other because, you know, there were lawyers back then. And they were just like obsessed, you know. It's, I don't know if you notice with commercials right now, but there are a lot of law commercials that are trying to get in on the different ways that I can sue for how I've been wronged or what I've been exposed to or whatever. Well, that's not new. That's been going on for a long time. And these people were going to court with one another, and they were basically being told, "Why do you go to court with one another when you have one who is your judge?" And that's the story. That's the conversation that's happening here. Chapter 6, verse 12. So he's talking about this crazy environment that they're in, and we're going to pick up on this next time when we're together. We're going to talk about the issues of conscience, which I think have a lot to do with where we're at right now, okay? And it's why they unfold in this book the way that they do. Verse 12, and this is kind of sets the tone for this. All things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, I'll say it again, but I'm not going to be mastered by anything. I am not going to be sucked into divisions, disorders, and difficulties. I am not going to be mastered by those things. This is a huge challenge right now. And probably why we're looking at Corinthians right now for the welfare of our body. That's probably enough, right? Keep reading in Corinthians. We'll probably have a little bit more time next time to field some of your observations and your questions or whatever. But I think that gets us into the spirit of what's happening in this book. And I'm hopeful for you, and I'm hopeful for me, that we're not going to get sucked in and be just like everybody else around us. I am hopeful for us that we will go back to the idea that there really are two kinds of wisdoms, just like there are only two religions. There's a religion of serving the living God, and there's the religion of self. Go all the way back to the garden. It's the same thing with wisdom. there are only two kinds of wisdom. There's wisdom of the flesh, and there's wisdom that comes from the Spirit of God. So would love to have you be a part of some of these conversations rather than teaching classes on some things right now because of, you know, you guys are obviously all afraid to get together and gather together. We're going to be just focusing on different parts of our body for different things. We're doing the deeper studies now. I've been reading a book that talks about moving into your 50s, which I'm well beyond. I was thinking the other day, I'm old enough to be a 50-year-old's dad. How weird is that? But I'm thinking in terms of some of our people that are moving into that phase of your life, and these are great days, but how are we going to maximize them? We live in a culture that disposes. We're disposable. People who are older are disposable. We're like the only culture. Every other culture has some room for some kind of a sage or an older person or older people, but in our culture, you know, what does it mean, you know? What does experience mean? Marriage builders, I know, in thinking in terms of, you know, I think I've done a couple hundred weddings and done a lot of premarital counseling, made a lot of friends, made a few enemies during that time. And, but I was thinking about the things that God gave to me 40 years ago to show me how to help couples. And I thought, well, maybe there's some of you, and I know that more of our elders have been participating in weddings and stuff like that. So that's what that's all about. And I'm not looking for a big group of people. I'm looking for maybe five or six people that would really want to work on those skills together. And then also we'll have a Mentored by God group. So that'll be coming up, and we'll send you an email, and you can sign up that way.